If you would take your Bible and find the Gospel of John, John's Gospel and chapter number 3, the Gospel of John in chapter number 3, and we will begin reading at verse number 31. John's Gospel, chapter number 3, verse number 31, and we will read down through verse number 36. So if you have your copy of God's book this morning, and if you have found John chapter number 3, if you would please, would you stand, and we will read together verses 31 through verse number 36. John chapter 3, verse number 31. Let us read. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath put all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Father, thank you so much for the health and the strength to be in your house this morning. God, I think of people today that are incapacitated, that because of these frail, fickle bodies that we are trapped in, they are not able to be today in church. God, I'm grateful that I'm in this place, that I have that book. God, I believe that you brought us here for a purpose. I don't believe it was by accident. I believe you brought us here on purpose. God, I have lived 19,000 plus days. I am not guaranteed of one more. And I pray that you would take this day and these moments and this message and this one simple preacher, and that you would speak to hearts, that you would open our eyes, that you would bring conviction, that you would bring conversion, that you would bring blessing and help. And please do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may have a seat. John chapter number 3, that passage that we just read would be entitled John Baptist's Testimony. John Baptist's testimony of Jesus. John Baptist's testimony of Jesus. In verse number 25, it all begins when there is a question between some of John Baptist's disciples and a debate between John Baptist's disciples. Are you listening? And it was in the land of Judea. He was baptizing a lot of converts, and John was baptizing there, and because of that, there was much water, and many came to be baptized, and then that question came. They began to argue. There was an argument, there was a strife, and there was a division, my friend. Let me say this morning that truth always causes a division. You either on God's side or you on the world's side this morning. You either on the side of right or you're on the side of wrong this morning. You're either on the side of truth or you're on the side of error this morning. You are either on the side of marriage or you're the side of fornication this morning. You are either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. Which is it this morning? I would suggest there are plenty of people that come to the house of God. There are plenty of people in this city that come to the house of God, been chasing some boy around all over town. Some you hunting the next boyfriend, sister. Yeah, let me tell you something. You're a fornicator. God calls it sin. And God says fornicators don't enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the truth of the matter is this, that debate came because John Baptist was a fierce preacher. We loved to garnish the prophets' graves, but we couldn't stand 5 minutes of their ministry. And the truth of the matter is this morning, they hated John Baptist and they wanted to kill John Baptist, but the Jews couldn't kill John Baptist because the common people heard him gladly. He was so popular in baptizing so many converts that John Baptist was hated and revered at the same time. Well, suddenly in that passage that we read, would you look at John chapter number 3, would you look at that passage? It says that after this debate about washings and purifying, and the Jews would wash dishes and they would make everything clean, they had ceremonial baths that they had to take. That's what this question was about washing. And they had all these ceremonial baths, and what Jesus warned them was this. Jesus said that you're clean on the outside, but you filthy on the inside. Yes, my friend, clean on the outside, religious on the outside, filthy on the inside. Clean on the outside, Hollywood on the inside. Clean on the outside, fornication on the inside. Clean on the outside, adultery on the inside. Clean on the outside, unbelief and foolishness on the inside. See, the truth of the matter is this morning, we garnished the prophets' graves and we couldn't stand 5 minutes of their preaching. This generation would kill John Baptist. Well, that question led them to come to John, and they tell John in verse number 26, your popularity is waning. The one you bear witness to, John 3 and 26, says, behold, the same baptizeth all men come to him. Have you noticed, John Baptist, everybody's leaving you and they're going to Jesus. Everybody's fleeing from you and they're going to Jesus, and you're losing your popularity. You're losing your crowd. What do you have to say about that, John Baptist? Verse number 27, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. This is John Baptist's testimony of Jesus Christ. This prophet is going to point men to Jesus Christ. And because he is going to point men to Jesus Christ, he is going to be a great witness. Verse number 28, I bear witness. I am not the Christ. I am sent before him. My friend, John Baptist was a brave witness. He had a great testimony because John Baptist would live a holy and separated life. And I tell you this morning, my friend, it is a Christian that lives a worldly life that has a weak testimony. You can't soar with the eagles and trot with the turkeys at the same time, my friend. Can I tell you this today, that there are a lot of people who are believers whose testimony is weakened because they live a Hollywood lifestyle on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then on Saturday, and then on Sunday they trot into the house of God for an hour or so, think they did God some kind of service. The truth of the matter is this morning, we garnish the graves of those prophets and decorate their graves. Couldn't take 5 minutes of their preaching and 5 minutes of their living this morning. They pointed to John and said, everybody, John is going to Jesus. And Jesus said, that's who I'm pointing. John said, that's who I'm pointing them to also. I'm pointing them to Jesus. And if I live a wicked, worldly lifestyle, I cannot point men to Jesus Christ. If I'm fooling around with women at the same time I'm married, I cannot point men and women to Jesus Christ at the same time. If I'm clubbing and shaking that groove thing all the time, I cannot point men and women to Jesus Christ. He was a blazing and shining light, a witness and a testimony that spoke against the generation's sins, spoke against Herod's sin. It cost him his life. He said, I'm not the Christ. I am sent before him. I'm just, verse 29 says, the groom. But he was happy. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. His great happiness was in pointing men to Jesus Christ. His great happiness was pointing boys and girls to Jesus Christ. His great happiness was saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And I would say this morning, there is no greater happiness or no greater joy that a person could possibly find that when they find the will of God for their life, when they find the person of Christ for their life. John says, "My joy is fulfilled. I'm a happy man," John says. I'm pointing people to Jesus Christ. Went soul winning yesterday in Evergreen Apartments. There was a man and his wife who I had witnessed to, and we went back to follow up to see if that gospel seed that we had planted had borne any fruit yet. We went back to plant the gospel seed and to see if we could do some pruning on that bush. And when we were leaving, we walked by this apartment. Dylan and I had been at the apartment the week before. And when we were at the apartment the week before, we had handed this boy a gospel tract. He went back into the apartment. He opened the gospel brochure and began reading it to everybody in the apartment. I could hear him outside the door reading this gospel brochure to everybody in the apartment. He's done more than some Baptists have their entire life in his 9 years of life. John Baptist was a man who pointed people to the Messiah, and that made him happy. Well, when we were leaving yesterday, I didn't even have plans on stopping at that second apartment, apartment letter A. But Heaven looked and she said, "Dad, are we going to that one?" I said, "Yeah, we are." I knocked on the door and boy came to the door and the boy said, "Hey, do you remember me? I'm the preacher." Boy, I don't think there's a higher title in the entire world than that this morning, my friend. What gives me great joy this morning is to be able to say I am pointing men and women and boys and girls away from sin, away from this living together, shack up, limp in, leap out society, and pointing them to Christ in truth and righteousness. We garnished the prophet's grave and couldn't stand 5 minutes of their preaching or 5 minutes of their living. John Baptist said, "My joy is fulfilled. I am a witness. I have seen the groom." That young boy came to the door. I began sharing the gospel with him. Dylan shared a verse. Heaven shared a verse. We prayed with him. The young boy asked Christ to be his Savior. Whoop! Now, I'm telling you, my friend, that is joy this morning, to see someone turn to Christ. Joy, my joy is fulfilled, John Baptist said, because people are flocking to Christ. I said to him, "Son, what is your favorite candy bar?" He said, "That would be a Kit Kat." I said, "The Sheets right over around the corner sells a bunch of them. I know by experience." I said, "If you'll wait and don't run off, wait here in the apartment. I'll be back in just a little bit. I'm going to go get you a Kit Kat because you were such a good listener." And he looked at me and he said, "I got a brother, you know." I said, "I got the idea. I'll come back with, I'll be back with two of them." When I came back, I said to the other boy, I said, "No, I just told your brother this story about God. I just told your brother this story about Christ. By the way, my friend, I would be disqualified to tell that story if I didn't live right. I would be disqualified to be a preacher of the gospel if I was chasing some immoral kind of lifestyle around behind everybody's back. I'm not a perfect man this morning, but my friend, I wouldn't let anything come between me and the joy of saying, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Well, I told that boy the story. Boy, his mom was mad. She was sitting on the couch. She was about high as a kite. With my bad leg, I could have outrun her. All that Suboxone she'd been swallowing down, all that Jack Daniels and that barley corn, all that poison that people sell that ruins our morals, ruins society, ruins homes. The truth of the matter is, we garnished the prophets' graves and couldn't take 5 minutes of their preaching, 5 minutes of their living. God, give us some voices that will speak against the madness of this society. John Baptist said, "My joy is fulfilled." That mom's joy wasn't fulfilled. She was mad as a hornet. Now, Pap had said I could talk to the boy. Mom didn't. Yeah, I got somebody's permission. By the way, I had a higher permission anyhow. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. If you walk and talk and live and breathe in, you're a prospect, my friend. He must increase, but I must decrease, John Baptist said. He must get greater. He will become more important, and I will become less important. That's John Baptist's testimony. Jesus would become more important. And in pointing to Jesus, he had a complete and happy joy. I'm glad to report to you this morning that that young boy took Christ as his Savior. And because he took Christ as his Savior, his brother took Christ as his Savior. And because he took Christ as his Savior and his brother took Christ as his Savior, his mom was mad as a hornet. But I wouldn't give you 5 cents for a preacher that didn't make somebody mad. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for a ministry that everybody pats you on the back and says, you're so lovely. You're so wonderful. You're so backslidden is the truth of the matter. If everybody speaks well of you, Jesus said, woe to you. He must increase. I must decrease. He got to get greater. Verse 31, he cometh from above. He wasn't of the earth. He wasn't from Joseph and Mary. He came from above. He wasn't from Bethlehem. He came from the New Jerusalem. He came from God. He's the Word that was made flesh. That's John Baptist's testimony about him. He speaks of heavenly things. And verse 32, he's rejected. He testifies, and no man receives his testimony. You see, this morning, unbelief is a great sin in the sight of God. Unbelief is to not receive the testimony that God has given. Unbelief is to not receive the testimony that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and been seen by hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses. Unbelief is a dreadful sin. And John Baptist said, John Baptist's testimony is, he's despised, his message is not received. No man receiveth his testimony. But hey, my friend, I'd like to answer to John Baptist back through the centuries. I've received this testimony. If the rest of the world doesn't believe it, John Baptist, I believe it this morning. I think it's true. I'll take it as mine. I'll receive his testimony. Verse number 33, John Baptist's testimony about Jesus, that when you receive his testimony, God is honored. People say God is true, God is faithful, God is right. The message still works this morning. Say, well, how do you know that there's a God? This book testifies that there is. Say, how do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? This book testifies that he is. I believe that testimony this morning, my friend. I believe it with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. Did rise from the dead. I believe his testimony this morning. John Baptist's testimony is that verse number 34, God giveth the Spirit not by measure unto him, that he had unmeasurable power, unmeasurable spiritual power. Not only was he both rejected and received, not only did he come from above, not only was he the groom that all were flocking to, not only would he become greater and greater as John decreased, but he was the one who had immeasurable, undefinable spiritual power. God giveth the Spirit, but he gave him the Spirit of God without measure. That's why when cripples saw him, they started walking. That's when the blind were around him, they would see. That's why leprosy would depart. Devils would be driven out because he had the Spirit not by measure. See, God measures his power to saints, but God did not measure his power to Jesus Christ. That's why in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He could do anything he wanted in heaven. He could do anything he wanted in earth. God gave him the Spirit without any measure. Now, in closing, look at verse number 35 of John Baptist's testimony. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. That shows us there, first of all, that there is a Trinity. That there is one God that exists in three distinct persons. And these three are one. This shows us the Trinity this morning. The Father loveth the Son. And the Son loved the Father. The Father loveth the Son. That the Son was precious to him. The Son was a distinct person from him. This verse number 35, the Father loveth the Son, it shows us this morning that the Son was subordinate to the Father, obedient to the Father. But it also shows us this morning that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because everything that God had, Jesus had, and everything that God could do, Jesus could do, and everything that God said, Jesus said, and everything that God knew, Jesus knew. He was not only subordinate, he was equal. I can't explain that, but I believe it. I can't understand that, but I trust it. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. In other words, the Father loved God so much. God the Father loved the Son so much. He said, Son, I give you everything that I own. Son, I give you everything that I am. Son, I bequeath all the universes into thy hand. All the trees, all the stars, all the people, all the animals, it is all yours. Every soul, it is yours. Every stalk of grass, every blade of grass, every sprout of grass, every tree, every leaf, every stone, every raindrop, everything in nature, things in spiritual world, things in the natural world, it's all in your hand, Jesus. That's because God loved him so much. Now, it is the same way with me this morning. If I love Jesus Christ, I take everything that I have and put it in his hand. If I love Jesus Christ this morning, I say, Lord, here's my wallet. Do with it what you want. If I love Jesus Christ this morning, I put all of me into his hand. I say this morning, Lord, I have 168 hours this week. Here's all of them. I put it all in your hand. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. How about it with you, sir? How about it with you, ma'am? Have you taken everything and put it in the hands of Christ? Or is some of it in your hand and some of it is in God's hand? How is it with you, ma'am? How much is in the hand of Christ this morning and how much is still in your control? How is it with you, sir? How is it with you, sir? How much is in your hands and how much is in Christ's hands? Hey, here's why I'll be back tonight in church. Not because I'm the pastor, but because a long time ago I said, Lord, here's my time. I put it in your hands. Here's why I'll be at prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Not because I'm a pastor. I went to prayer meeting Wednesday night a long time before I was pastor. But because I said a long time ago, Lord, here is my time. It was John Baptist's testimony that God took everything that he was, everything that he had, everything that he ever said, and put it into the person of Christ. Book of Colossians says he was filled with all the fullness of God. So what I ought to do this morning, if I love him as well, take everything that I have, everything that I am, and place it in his hands. See, this morning, I'll tell you why last night I was sober. Because a long time ago, I said, God, these lips and these fingers and this mind, it's yours. I don't own these anymore. They're yours. The Father loveth the Son and hath put all things into his hand. And I would suggest this morning, the reason that there's so much indifference in the Church of Jesus Christ, so much worldliness among the young people that claim to follow Jesus Christ, is because they haven't got to the place where they say, All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, daily live. And that's John Baptist's testimony about Jesus Christ. The Father took everything that he was, everything that he said, everything that he owned, everything that he would do and say, and put it in the person of Christ. And I urge you to do that this morning as well. Hey, can I tell you this morning? The person that does that is secure. Because Jesus said this, "You're in my hand, and nobody can pluck you out of my hand." May of 1982, I sat in my basement of my mom's house. I had just graduated from high school and was a Bible college student. I sat in my mom's basement reading Psalm 119. And I read, I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. All of a sudden it dawned on me that the prophet was making a promise that he was going to serve God as long as he was walking, talking, living, and breathing. And I said, "God, if you'll give me grace, I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll preach what you want me to preach." And put it all in his hands. And it's amazing to me that many decades later, God still got a grip on me, and I'm secure today. John Baptist's testimony is a powerful one. It's not a popular one. Popularity is very fleeting, but it's a powerful one. So how is it with you, ma'am? Sir? Ma'am? How is it with you? How is it with you, sir? Sir, with you? With you, ma'am? With you, sir? Ma'am, how is it with you? With you? How much can you say is in Christ's hands? All of you? Part of you? None of you? Only you know that. I can't tell. But Christ knows. Here's what I urge you this morning to do. That when the music plays, I urge you to come. I urge you to kneel here. Don't play games with God. But I urge you to kneel here. I urge you to come and kneel here and say quite simply, "God, here's my time. God, here's my money. God, here's my feet. God, here's my hands. God, here's my eyes. God, here's my ears. I surrender all." Let's bow our heads and we'll have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, sin is what ruins people. And God, I believe this morning, sin has a great adversary in preaching. And God, I like what Billy Sunday said. "I'd flee from sin like I would a rattlesnake. And I'll fight sin till I'm old and toothless and can't walk." God in heaven, I pray that your spirit would move in our midst. Move in the cold and hard and indifferent hearts, including mine. And God, if there's something that's not in your hand that I own, would you show it to me this morning? Because I would turn it over to you.